Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, with a headbanging song in his heart, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. It's the Friday edition of the Nate Darling Show. Welcome back. Thanks for coming.
It's Friday. Friday.
Skip it up, buddy.
Friday. Partying, yeah.
What day is it? No, not that day.
It's Shake and Bake Day?
Oh.
Yeah, there we go. Mm. Yeah, Arjun, again, thanks to Arjun Singh for sitting in with for the show on Wednesday.
Yeah.
He had to go.
He did.
Because now it's 2 days later, and yeah. You know, he has a job, mm-hmm. but we're all still here.
Yep. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk Congress, millennials, peeing outside, all of those things.
Congress, millennials, peeing outside? That's mm-hmm. a good story.
And the Texas Panty Bandit.
Nope.
It's dead silence. The Texas Panty Bandit. I'm sad Christiana's not here for the Texas Panty Bandit.
Christiana is not here, but we do have another friend on the couch.
Yes, Hootie has joined us.
Welcome back, Hootie.
Hello.
Yes, if anybody really tracks with the show for a long time, Hootie and I, with our friend Chainsaw, did the on-demand super show for a summer.
Oh. Yeah.
That didn't end well, but that's okay.
Because Hootie's making like throat-cutting motions.
Well, that's kind of how it ended, really. I mean, it was one of those things.
Like there were three of you and now there's just two of you?
No.
Sad and scary.
No.
Ted, are we sure we're safe?
are you familiar with the process of a scorched earth policy?
Yes.
That's kind of what happened. So,
but you guys are still here on the couch, so things are growing.
Oh yeah, everything's fine. But that's as what will happen when you get people involved with creative projects. Oftentimes, after periods of time passes, disagreements arise and things happen and said projects go away.
Weird.
I have that's, never experienced like that at all. Ever.
Made that up. That's just fictional.
I've got two words for you. Guns and roses.
No, simple? I've totally experienced that recently, in fact. So I can appreciate that, but I'm glad that you guys are still friends on the couch and here we are.
Oh, sad tuba, sad.
It is sad. So this past weekend, let's talk first about I made my first trip to the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, courtesy of Hootie. Don't wave. No one can see you.
I saw.
Hi, Hootie.
I still feel like a spectator.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
I love Ted and Becca.
Aw.
Aw, we love you too.
We all love Ted and Becca.
I'm so excited to hear about your Santa Cruz stories because I lived there for 7 years of my life and then I moved away. And I've never been back, not even one day. And I miss it. And so you guys have to tell me so I can live vicariously.
Well, it was really just an afternoon at the beach boardwalk. And we didn't go on the beach. Did you go on the beach at all?
I took pictures.
You took pictures, but you didn't actually go down and frolic in the sand.
No.
Was the weather accommodating to such a thing?
It was. It was hot. Okay. It was actually warmer there than it was in Sacramento on Saturday.
Okay.
Wow.
It was oftentimes, like, Santa Cruz beaches are always like the one NorCal beach where you can live like a beach lifestyle and not freeze.
Oh.
That's true. You don't get that like crazy wind or fog of San Francisco as much.
No, it was like 89 there on Saturday.
Nice.
So it was warmer than Sacramento. It was warmer certainly than Salinas where we started the day. It's an adventure getting there because to get into Santa Cruz and make your way through town. I mean, even with by the way, GPSs are great, except when towns put up little things to prevent you from going down roads that used to be open.
Oh, great.
Which we encountered a couple of times with the TomTom. It said, go this way. And he went that way. And suddenly there was a block there. I experienced that in Portland with my GPS, too, where it was like, go down here and turn right. Well, there's a blockade there.
The TomTom?
He has a TomTom.
Like from Star Wars?
That's a Tauntaun.
Oh, never mind. Thanks for clarifying.
Just like that.
You are now my hero.
So the beach boardwalk, we got the unlimited ride passes. You got the unlimited ride passes.
So fun.
Yes, I did.
And you know what? I figured it out. We didn't actually ride enough. Even though we rode a fair bit, we did not ride enough to justify the cost of an unlimited ride pass.
That's because you didn't get one, right, Nate?
No, we did.
Oh, I thought you said Tico. I'm sorry.
No, he got two, one for each of us.
Gotcha, sorry.
But the tokens are $1 each, and when I did the math, we came up like $5 short of what we would have spent for an unlimited ride ticket.
So wait, didn't Mrs. Hootie go on rides?
No.
Please explain
it's
that,
not her
since
thing?
Since she asked. Go ahead and explain it.
Ooh. No, my lovely bride has certain phobias, and most rides are... in that category.
She did go on
Fair
one.
Enough.
She went on the Tilt-A-Whirl. It was
that's so fun.
Which is called something else there.
We had video of that. But no, the wooden roller coaster, it shakes, and so she thinks it's going to break. And Nate's new favorite ride, the sort of hang gliding thing. The
cliffhanger.
Yes, cliffhanger.
Oh.
she thought she was going to fly off and she would land in the ocean and die. She always has this.
That's so funny.
Basically, I think.
It would never make the ocean.
I think someone broke into her brain when they wanted to write Final Destination because she always has that mindset that that's what's going to happen.
I can understand that. I mean, I'll go on a lot of rides, but there are a couple that I can't handle, and it's just not worth the fear. So I support that.
Well, I enjoyed the roller coaster, and the only problem I had was the second time we rode was a little bit after dusk, so I had taken the sunglasses off. And we get about 2/3 of the way through the ride, and I caught a bug in my eye.
Oh.
Which wasn't the bad thing, but I instinctively went up with my finger to try and get it out of my eye. Ah. And then as I got my hand close to my face, I went, "Don't do that, you moron. You'll poke your eye out."
Oh, yeah. Ah. It's all fun and games until...
Yeah, as you're on a wooden roller coaster shaking all around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could very easily poke your eye out by doing that. I mean, what? How'd you lose your eye? Well... I was on the Giant Dipper, and a bug flew in my eye, and that took your eye out? Nope. Nope. I tried to clear the bug with my finger and poked myself in the eye. Yep. Yep, that's what happened.
Nice.
So, yeah, we rode that twice.
What Nate leaves out of that story is that unlike the natural screaming voice that you have when you ride a roller coaster, he laughs maniacally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't,
from the second you pull out.
I do not scream on roller coasters and rides like that. I just start laughing maniacally at the whole through the whole thing.
You should share the video.
Because it's not that... You get a lot more noise when you're hearing.
Oh, no. Right at the beginning, you really get a good sense of the Nate laugh.
The Nate laugh.
Well, let me see if I can find it, if that would make you happy.
Oh, that's so fun.
So the cliffhanger is like a hang gliding simulation? Not simulation, but model or whatever?
Basically, you, three people go across, and you get locked in.
You lay face down.
You lay face down, and it goes in a circle, but it goes in such where you go all the way to the ground and then come all the way up. And then,
oh, that sounds fun.
And it casts you out over the side, so you're... flying at the ocean at one point, and then you're flying at the concrete, and then you're flying up at the Big Dipper, and then you're flying.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And you do achieve that point of weightlessness at the top,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
too, where you get that little bump, which is what makes it, I mean, that's what really makes any roller coaster cool, is that one little split second when you're catching air.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds awesome.
And it's totally the ride you will walk past, and you think, that's lame.
Mm.
And I would have never gone on it if he wouldn't have been hopping up and down and said, let's go do that one. I was like, okay, sure. And yeah, then turned out that was the coolest ride ever, and we went on it twice.
Nice. Oh,
we
man. Should.
We haven't been there. Yeah, I haven't been there a long time either. And
no.
Sounds like
yeah.
I used to live just blocks away from the boardwalk, so I would get the season pass every year because you can just walk in so easily, you know. And I have ridden the Giant Dipper like 100 times at least, you know. And oh, I miss it. Yeah, yeah. We should go.
And we also went on the... Classic carousel also, which is very cool.
Oh, yeah.
Do they still have you throw the brass ring in the clown's mouth?
Yes, they do.
Did you guys succeed?
He did not. I
didn't even see it.
He didn't see it because he was on the farthest on the inside.
You have to be on the outside to make it happen.
But they still have that.
That's cool.
All right, let's see if we can actually hear it. So it's not moving yet, waiting for the Giant Dipper to start.
Nate just gave the peace sign like he's Snoop Dogg.
And pounding his chest first?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Then, and just a lot of camera movement looking around. Because just, there's...
Oh, there we go.
Ha ha!
I hear you.
I hear.
So that's what happens if you're riding on any sort of thrill ride
the
with me.
The whole ride.
That's funny. I like it.
It's called joy. It's what
love
happens.
Joy has no place in a roller coaster.
no place in an amusement park.
Compose yourself. This is a ride. Yeah.
Awesome. Good job.
The Scooby-Doo villains came out and told me to tone it down.
kids.
So we did that. We had the argument about whether you could walk around with a beer. Which
could you?
It's yeah, really not an argument. Here's what happened.
Of course you can.
My beautiful wife has this idea that I am a rule-breaking machine.
Mm-hmm. So it's true.
She will say the following. So can I just walk around this? And I'll look at her and I go, yes, yes, you can. I see people doing it all the time. And then she'll say, are you sure? And then she'll say, are you sure you're sure?
Oh.
And then she'll say, I don't think that's right.
Having confirmed it 3 times with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she went and asked the minimum wage guy working at the snack shack if you could do that. And when he said yes, she came back and was like, oh, yeah, you can walk around with it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yes. Thanks. Yes. Thanks. We never would have gotten that from the 5 times we said it was cool.
I think Mrs. Hootie needs to be on the show also.
To defend her.
Oh,
I think all 3 of you should be on the couch and...
Well, you know, I don't know if she would do that or if she would be afraid of it like it's a roller coaster.
Well, she doesn't like Sacramento because it's too hot.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Oh, but now it's October, and from here on out, it's not going to be too hot again until, like, April or May. So please come visit us, Ms. Hootie. We'd love to meet you.
Yeah, come on up.
And you can remember, stay at Nate's.
Oh, no, this is not deluxe enough accommodations.
Ooh.
No. They want to stay on the Delta King next time.
Yes, we do.
I've always wanted to stay on the Delta King, but it seems too extravagant because I live here. So it's, you know, I could just go home. But I like to sit on the top level of the Delta King where the bar is. And if you sit on the riverside, you can pretend like, oh, I'm on a cruise. I'm having a cocktail on a cruise.
Aww.
Even though the ziggurat is always there and never moves and it kind of ruins the illusion. It's still pretty cool.
You know, if you drink enough, you can sort of weave back and forth and it'll be the same thing too.
Right?
The ziggurat will move if you have enough alcohol.
Okay, we're going to go to the karaoke and we're all going to go to the Delta King.
Yeah.
We're making plans.
This is the longest road trip ever for the podcast. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the beach boardwalk was fun. We hit the arcade, which we talked about a little bit in Wednesday's show.
Right, your drumming.
The drum machine.
By the way, the
arcade, if you have seen Wreck-It Ralph, is basically got everything from that movie and everything else. It's like the arcade that time forgot. You can play Asteroids from 1977.
That is awesome.
Or you can play like the newest games. It is just the coolest part of that whole place.
I used to love that arcade so much.
Yeah.
Such a good time.
So yeah, the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk was fun. It was a lot of fun. And it wasn't too crowded this time of year. I would imagine it gets very crowded in the summer, but not too bad.
It depends. If you go there the last weekend it's open, it is insane because there's also a chili cook-off.
Oh, okay.
Well, of course. Everyone loves chili.
Well, why wouldn't there be a chili cook-off? the other thing that happened this week is I saw the movie Don John.
Oh, I really want to see it.
Okay.
Oh, I don't really want to see it. I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Have you seen the movie yet?
I have not. I did see a movie this week, though.
Okay. Which movie did you see?
I went and saw Gravity in the D-Box last
night. Oh, that's right. I want to see
we're
that.
Thinking about seeing it in IMAX 3D because our friend said it was amazing.
Yes, you want to do that.
Yeah,
okay.
That sounds cool.
IMAX 3D. Now, you saw it in D-Box. Would you go see it in IMAX 3D or would you go to see it at D-Box if you had to choose one or the other?
It all depends on if you get any sort of motion sickness while you're watching something in 3D.
Oh.
I personally had no problem and loved every minute of it. And my wife, who normally does, had no problem either. But one thing that you have to keep in mind is that while everything's in 3D and it's coming right at you, you're also getting that space drift in your seat. And
interesting.
And it times out perfectly.
Oh, wow.
So
that sounds kind of crazy.
It is fantastic.
But IMAX are like this huge theater, like you're in space, and that sounds super cool, too.
We have like the giant IMAX screen, but it doesn't have the D-Box.
They need
to
combine those two.
So would you want the giant screen or the...
Ah. Honey, I'll shake your seat while we watch it.
Either way, you're going to be fine. It is just a fantastic visual experience.
Nice.
I think another podcast field trip. I know I just put 2 on the books, but I think we have a third one.
I don't want to see Gravity, not because it's. I have no
Boo.
Criticism of the movie.
Of course you don't, because I do.
No. It just taps into my greatest fears, which is being left out alone.
In space?
It doesn't matter if it's space or like open water. Remember the movie Open Water where they went on a scuba trip and were left in the middle of the ocean? That's just too creepy for me.
Okay.
That's the type of movie I can't handle. So I have nothing bad to say about the movie or anything like that. It's just it's a personal thing with me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I get
you'd
that.
You'd be in a padded room after Gravity.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It would make me
it's
insane.
It's just 12 long shots of being in space. It's insane.
Yeah. I would not enjoy that at all.
Wow. I guess I barely even know what the movie's about. Just everyone saying it's great. So I'm like, okay. So
it's like it's like the best ride you've ever been on at any amusement park like Disney or Universal or anything like that, and then it's a movie also.
That's cool.
Whoa.
So Mrs. Hootie went even though there's shaking involved. It wasn't too scary.
She is infatuated, super fan of Sandra Bullock. She's seen The Proposal at least 200 times, so
okay,
she'll follow her to the ends of the earth
and beyond, apparently.
Yes,
into space.
And she really likes the D-Box. She hates loud movies, but she likes the D-Box because it shakes and keeps her awake.
Interesting.
We did our first D-Box like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and it was really fun. So, yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah, Crash was fantastic.
Rush.
Same thing.
Cars.
There was crashing.
Rush had a lot of crashing. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, and Crash had a lot of rushing. Anyway, Don John, I was a little disappointed because I went in expecting one thing, and it wasn't exactly what I expected. And it wasn't...
No Scarlet boobies?
There was nothing like that. I don't want to spoil it because I don't even want to see it, but here's what I will say. Go ahead and wait until it comes out on video because there's no reason to see it in the theater.
Okay.
There's nothing about the movie that you're going to get more out of seeing it on a big screen.
Right.
And it's not a movie that is that urgent that you need to see it. It's not like, go out and see it right now. I mean, you may enjoy it. There were parts of it. There's one character which I think is kind of a ripoff of a Kevin Smith character. Mm. And if anybody's seen the movie, they'll know what I'm talking about. It's not as much a comedy as the trailer would lead you to believe. Mm. There are funny bits to it, but it's more of a slow burn on some things. And it had sort of an after school special sort of vibe by the end of the movie, which was kind of where I was like, okay. But that being said, I know people who've seen it and really liked it, especially if you're a really big Joseph Gordon-Levitt fan, you're probably going to like the movie. But I would say don't spend the money to go see it in the theater. Wait for about 2-3 months, see it on Redbox or wherever you're going to see it like that.
It's funny, when you give movie reviews, I never know... Like, I never know how to apply it to me.
Right.
Because sometimes we have very opposite tastes, and sometimes we don't. And so I'm like, so Nate didn't like it as much. Does that mean I'll agree with him, or I will like it more? Like, I'm not really sure.
I think you might like it a little bit more than I did.
Especially
because you are a Joseph Gordon-Levitt fan. If you're really into his work, you're probably going to like it a little more than I did. There's nothing bad about the movie. It's just I didn't feel like they delivered on the promise of the trailer.
Right, right. And I've seen that before where they're like, oh, this is funny or this is romantic or whatever. Like, they're just trying to kind of frame it the way that they think it's going to get butts in seats the first weekend.
Right.
But, yeah.
And the scene where he's in the trailer where he's jamming out to Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch's Good Vibrations, which was very funny, that... absolutely nothing to do with the whole thing. There's parts of this movie that, because of your sensibilities, will probably make you very upset.
Oh.
But...
Do they go to, like, a factory farm? No, I'm just kidding.
They go seal clubbing.
Well, I mean, they make no secret of the fact that he loves pornography.
Right.
And that sort of thing. So there is a very large objectification of women throughout the movie.
Hey, I can handle it. I think I'm the only one of us all who watched that Westboro porn video.
No, true. I'm not saying you can't handle it.
Did you watch it, Ted?
I tried, but I couldn't get it to load.
I tried, I couldn't get it to load, and I went back a couple days later.
Hey,
what's wrong with
me? It happens to every man once in a while. Sometimes you just can't get porn to load, okay?
You just can't get it to load. But, yeah, Don John, not a bad movie, but I would just wait for it on DVD, because I don't think you're going to miss out on anything.
Speaking of Scarlett, she's Esquire's sexiest woman alive again.
Again?
Again. I think she's pretty hot.
She is a beautiful, beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. And it's a very interesting character that they have her playing in the film. It does take a couple of turns. And like I said, I think you will enjoy the movie. I won't sit here and go, oh, the movie was bad. The movie was terrible. It's just something that you can wait to see. So let's move on. This kind of amused me. Actually, we'll save that for a second. Ted.
Yes, sir.
Published author Ted Sampson of Carmichael, California.
Wow. My name in print. That's never happened.
I know.
Professional journalist.
I've only been a journalist for 14 years, but you know.
Ted got a letter to the editor in the Sacramento Bee.
That's right. It's like the New York Times of Sacramento because it's a newspaper that's here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you mean it's like the Press Republican of Sacramento.
Right. Well, you have to pay for it.
And
so,
my name
yes.
that high on the bar.
So there's that. Yeah. Would you like to read your letter, or would you like me to read it?
Oh, I'd be happy to read the letter. Should I preface it at all? Just what prompted
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that?
Honestly, I write letters to the editor once in a blue moon, and I just saw this letter, and this guy was just saying, whoever thinks that we should give Obamacare a try is mindless, and I went to Forbes.com and found this data, and it said that it's going to cost $12 more for the average person. Do you want citizens to go bankrupt? Was pretty much the gist of his letter. So I was just so fired up by it because of the whole... whatever. So I wrote the letter. So I wrote, I appreciate the irony that the letter writer deemed a fellow citizen mindless for advocating giving Obamacare a chance. I wonder if the writer realizes the interactive chart he references from Forbes.com came from Manhattan Institute for Policy Research, a libertarian think tank funded by organizations with decidedly conservative leanings, including the Koch Family Foundation.
Koch.
And
Koch.
Koch. Whatever. And the Bradley Foundation. Did the writer mindlessly accept the data on Forbes.com as factual, unbiased gospel? Or has he applied the same level of mindful research to understand the impact of Obamacare that he presumably expects of others? Also ironic, he expresses concern that citizens will go bankrupt if their rates increase modestly. Is he concerned about the number of U.S. citizens who go bankrupt, or worse yet, untreated, each year because they can't afford life-saving health care after being denied coverage? That's the end of my letter. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Ted Sampson of Carmichael, California.
That's right. And can I go on to say what happened after?
Yeah.
It was just so weird that I've written a couple letters before. And my phone actually rang like on a Thursday. I'm like, hello? And he says, hi, is this Ted Sampson, a voice I never heard before? I'm, yeah. He says, hi, I read your letter in the newspaper and I really liked it. I've been writing the letters to the paper for years. So I looked up on the phone book to give you a call. And I thought that was very nice. But I was like, A, you used a phone book, and B, you would call someone to compliment them on something you saw in the paper. That's just so foreign to me.
You have a landline? let's keep going with this line.
No, it's true really enough. True. He does have a landline, and it's. I mean, oh, now dear. I live there too, and I always think like, should I put myself on the answering machine? Should I be using this landline somehow? And I haven't seen a need to. I never even answer it because I know it's just going to be for Ted.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he has a landline.
The reason I've had it before is because I want it to be a work number so I can keep my mobile number out of the hands of PR minions out in the world because they would call me all the time if they had my mobile number.
Sure.
That was my strategy initially. Now I don't really know why I have it, I guess.
And probably just to have it.
So I guess people can call you and compliment you on your letters to the editor.
That's right. Anyway.
And you can call 911.
That's true. Lots of benefits.
From right in your house.
And it has, I don't
Wait,
know.
I can't call 911 on my cell phone?
No, you can, but
they won't know where I am.
They'll have to, it's not as easy to pinpoint you. Although they are making strides with that, it's not as easy to pinpoint you as it is if you're calling from a landline. They revealed the woman behind the voice of Siri this week.
Ooh.
Anybody with an iPhone? Anybody?
No.
Nobody
no.
in this room?
Windows phone, huh? No, okay.
But one of the world's greatest, most enduring mysteries, according to Jezebel, has been solved. We know who the voice of Siri is. It's just a voice actress.
Climactic.
Wow.
That
I know. She's a veteran voice actor. She's been the voice of ATMs and GPS machines. She had no idea that her voice would be digitally chopped up and reassembled into Siri. She found out when an iPhone-owning friend informed her that Apple's fancy new automated question-answering assistant sounded a heck of a lot like her. Unsurprisingly, that was a little bit weird. Let's see.
So wait, did she not get paid for being Siri?
I don't believe so.
That sucks.
She obviously got paid for the initial read, But if somebody paid her for that read, then they can do whatever they want if they put that in the contract. So let's see if we can hear this a little bit.
Hello, I am Susan Bennett. You probably know me. I'm the voice actor who provided the voice for Siri.
Okay, I don't care. so there you go. We problem solved. Here's one of the things that I actually found interesting this week. This is 21 things that millennials can tell their grandkids that they experienced. You know, the things that you, that at a certain age you go, oh, that aren't around anymore. You can go, oh, we had this, we had this. Like, say, an answering machine or a VHS player. Well, millennials, number 21, Cisco.
Cisco.
Not the software company, the thong song guy.
That's a little different than... not the networking company. Got it.
What being a homeowner was like. This list is kind of tongue-in-cheek, I believe. Blowing into a video game cartridge.
Ah, yes.
That's number 19. Number 18, the awkwardness of jogging with a portable CD player. By the way, did not work.
That was terrible.
Yeah. The VHS DVD combo player.
Oh, yeah.
That did not work. Those are still around. You can still get them if you have to. Pogs is another one.
I don't think I was into Pogs at all.
I don't believe you qualify as a millennial.
We're a little older than this list.
15 is rewinding.
But that I used to do.
Mm-hmm. I still say things like rewind and fast forward.
Well, you do if you're talking about a DVR, you still do rewind and fast forward. It's just the terminology that's used for going forward and backward in time on a recording.
Well, like today, one of my coworkers was saying that she sometimes listens to things on double speed. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you could like fast forward, you know, a podcast. And I'm like, oh, fast forward. That's not what you would.
No.
Yeah.
That's not what you would say.
Like my iPod, I can listen to stuff at double speed or half speed.
Yay.
Right.
So you could make this show last twice as long if you wanted to. Number 14, balancing your checkbook. Apparently that's gone away. Crank on a car window.
Ah, yes.
Alarm clocks. You know, the old school kind you wind up.
Yeah.
Encyclopedias.
Ah, that's how I got all my homework done back in the day.
Voicemail.
I still have voicemail.
That's still a thing for a little while.
I guess not for the kids.
Nope. Napster.
Ah, yes, Napster.
Not being able to use the phone and the internet at the same time.
My housemates in college used to hate me because I was obsessed with an RPG and we had one phone line and I would always be on it. And they would just, and they were too wussy to tell me to get off the fucking phone.
They would just like stand outside your door.
Ted, could you please get off the phone? And like, no, an hour later, I'm so, cause I just lose track of it. And then like, Ted, I still need, they wouldn't, I don't know. And not to blame them, it was my own fault too, but fortunately they were wussy. Or not fortunately, kind of wasted a lot of time, I suppose. Anyway.
Paper maps is number 7 on the list.
Ah, maps.
Number 6, having to remember phone numbers. Number 5, ripping your friend's CD collections.
I guess I would tape them onto a cassette tape on my boombox or something like that.
Sure, but like ripping them into your computer.
Yeah.
Number 4, CD visors, binders, and changers.
I have one of those too.
I always loved the, and it was always chicks who did this, no offense, Becca, who would have the one on the visor, and they had the CDs, you put your CDs in your thing on the visor.
I never had this.
No, not that you did, but... And guys had them too, but the women I know all had them so that when they flipped their visor down to shield their eyes from the sun, the CDs were facing the sun, thus they were getting cooked in the sun all the time. Not to mention providing a really nice reflective surface for any driver they might meet coming the other way. So, well done, ladies.
This reminded me that I used to have one of those 5 CD changer type dealies. Did you have those?
Yeah,
it's like
trunk
you can
of
play
car?
5. No, like just in my house, like the player, okay. like you can play 5 CDs at once without having to. Yeah. And at that time I was in college and the band Ween had 5 albums and I put all 5 in my CD changer for like a year. All I listened to was Ween on shuffle.
Oh no.
And it was awesome.
Aww, good job.
Okay. Number 3, long box CD packaging. I remember when that went away. I was kind of sad because that was like the death of cover art.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Do remember them, yeah.
I thought those were good.
Well, they were supposedly killing the environment, so that's why they stopped making them.
Is that still around?
The environment?
Yeah.
For a while.
Jeez.
Number two, renting movies at a brick and mortar store like Blockbuster Video.
Ours is going out of business.
They all are.
Yeah, the one in Carmichael. Ted keeps going over there to see if there's good deals. Oh, and no. There never are. Like, I think they're just going to sell everything on Amazon.
Yeah. And finally, the number one thing that millennials can brag to their grandkids that they did, damn kids, signing on to AOL with dial-up internet.
That was my attempted imitation. Dong, dong, dong.
Well done.
Horrible.
Yeah.
You've got mail. And they had celebrities record that you got mail sounds. Did you guys have AOL at all?
No.
Oh, I guess.
I
grew up in
AOL.
Vermont. We didn't have that.
Okay. Maybe it's there now.
I met a boyfriend on AOL.
Oh, no.
Like way back in the day. Ooh. Way back in the day.
Interesting thing happened at work. Somebody got an email from a syndicator. And it had in their signature file, it had their AIM username.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, when was the last time you saw anybody use their AIM username in anything? And I couldn't remember. And they goes, do you remember what yours was? And I had to think for a minute, but I did remember. Do you guys remember what your...
I don't think I had that.
Mine was TJS102. And then I had one for work also.
Okay.
What is AIM? I mean, I've seen it, but
AOL
I didn't have
AOL Instant Messenger.
Oh, AOL Instant
Messenger. I mean, if anything, AOL did anything right. They made AIM a tool that's actually quite useful. I have to credit them for that.
And you didn't have to have AOL to have AIM.
That's right. And you still don't.
Right.
Which is nice.
I do not have it.
But
it's like Facebook chat.
Hootie, did you have an Instant Messenger?
No, I refused instant messaging until Facebook came along.
Oh, interesting. On principle or
late adopter?
Yeah, I just hated the idea that someone could just bleep while I was...
I hear you.
I'm the same way. I hide from everyone on Gmail, and on Facebook I have it configured so only Ted can chat with me.
I think the thing that bugs me most now about IM is that you can see when someone sees what you sent them, because sometimes you just want a breather from an email without them knowing you've read it.
I hate that too. And I hate it when I've emailed someone and I'm waiting for an answer and I'm like, you saw it on Sunday. What are you doing that's so important? Like, yeah. Before you could just tell yourself, oh, they haven't read it yet. Like, yeah. I hate the scene feature.
Oh, see, here's what I do. I just assume that they saw it but then had to poop and then they forgot.
That could happen too.
That's a good thing to tell yourself because then you don't take it personally.
Yeah, I never take anything personally. But I remember it took me a second, but I remember because, and then I remembered that it took quite a while because finally I was like, all right, fine, I'll sign up for it. And I'm like, Nate, blah, blah, blah. Nope, taken. Nate, taken. And then I just went with Nate, damn it. And that was my AOL username, Nate, damn it.
That seems pretty good.
It's kind of like your actual name. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. That was the thing. Caught on camera from Texas, not Florida. Don't be confused. A woman left a bizarre delivery in a man's driveway, and it was caught on surveillance cameras. See, Mitch Zarsky couldn't believe his eyes when he saw the video of a woman relieving herself. He said, it's like watching a train wreck. I had to watch it over and over again, and I just couldn't believe it.
Sure you did.
After knocking on the door and looking in the windows, a woman walked to the middle of the driveway, pulled her pants down between two cars. About 25 seconds later, the woman pulled up her pants, grabs her clipboard, and leaves. Zarsky was convinced that the woman did it on purpose, and not because nature called and she had nowhere to go. He pointed out bushes were nearby and that a porta potty at a construction site next door. He said, she's making a statement. You've avoided me. You know I'll take care of you. So, yeah. So the first time she came by, she asked if he was Mr. Zarsky. He happened to be outside. He told her that he was not Mr. Zarsky, and because he thought that she was like a salesperson. Now he believes that she's a process server trying to deliver legal papers on a matter involving a business that he owns. In his frustration, he left a message. It mentions the Memorial Village's police department and the fact that he has spread the video around. Check out your YouTube video process server, Granny. He wrote on the sign, you're now famous worldwide.
Sounds like a douche.
He does.
I don't know. I can't really be too sympathetic about his plight.
Yeah, you know what? She peed in his driveway.
I know. That's pretty shitty, but I don't know. I don't know. That's not the best move on her part, but trying to humiliate her for it. I don't know.
It's not, but hey, here's a thought. Don't duck the process server.
Yeah. Take care of your business, dude.
Yeah. Oh, there's someone looking for me.
Who is it?
I don't know. There's somebody looking in my windows wanting to see me, and they came by before. I'm going to hide in my house and then complain about it. Meh.
I think they're going to find you now.
Yeah. Dude. You know what's bigger in Texas? The douches.
The Nate Darling Show.
Hit the wrong button.
Cool. Oh. E. or tool.
Whoa. Yeah, it's true. First up in cool or tool. Oh, I forgot that. Oh,
well, no. They're tools anyway, I thought. I jumped the gun.
Yeah. All right. First up in cool or tool, Siri. Siri. Ted?
My experience is Siri is more of a tool than anything. I like the concept, but I don't think the execution's working out the way Apple would like us to think it does.
Becca?
I guess Siri's cool. I don't have Siri on anything, so, you know, I've only heard of her.
Hootie, what would you say?
Tool. Siri should be British.
Ah.
Yeah, sort of like my GPS that I've now configured with an Australian woman.
That's what I did, too.
Well, yeah, that's what we settled on
you
after
a
while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's what I have. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
It's really funny when she says Fair Oaks.
It is. It's better because when it was a U.S. woman's accent, I felt like she was nagging me.
Ah,
but exactly.
One thing we like about Garmin is that our favorite Mexican food restaurant is El Papagayo, and Garmin pronounces it El Papagayo.
It's hilarious.
Which is amusing every time.
Siri tool. Yeah. It doesn't. It. I mean, listen. It's a gimmick, and you can do a Google voice search just as quickly and get better results. Up next in cooler tool, millennials. Millennials, Becca.
Cool.
Ted.
Yeah, they're cool. I have no problem with millennials. They're trying.
Hootie.
What's the oldest a millennial can be?
I don't know.
If it's under the age of 28, then tool.
Okay. I'm not sure. It's you know what? I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of hipsters in there, so I'm going to give the blanket tool. And finally, in cooler tool, peeing outside. Peeing outside. Hootie, cooler tool.
Oh, very cool. I'm from the Northeast.
That is true. Becca.
Cool. I guess it depends on where. It greatly depends on where.
Ted.
I'm going to say cool, but I also want to say that when I was like in fourth grade, I got busted for peeing in someone's alley because I didn't want to, couldn't make it all the way to my friend's house to go pee, and I got in trouble. So be careful when you pee out there, people.
There is nothing more freeing than peeing outside.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Literally.
Literally nothing more freeing than not since Jesse Pinkman drove away from the neo-Nazi compound.
Spoiler.
Has there been something more freeing than taking a whiz outside?
Hope all of our listeners have watched the final episode of Breaking Bad.
Well,
at this point, they better have.
Yeah, I mean, we did the whole thing last week where exactly. We went through the whole...
But should we spoil the crap out of it
But
last
we
week?
Warned them this time.
There was a warning.
Okay.
But it's been 10 days. If you haven't seen it... Tough darts.
I thought the Nate Darling rule was 6 months.
Oh.
I don't have a rule like that.
Do you have?
Yes, but Christiana does.
Yeah, well, she's not here, is she?
Oh. Oh, snappity.
What day is it?
I don't know why that got into my
Friday.
Head.
Friday.
And now people are doing it, and it's not even Wednesday.
Oh, it's a trend
Damn
now.
Kids.
Oh.
It's the trend.
Damn
There's
kids.
A knock at the door. Is it a news reporter?
Shouldn't make fun of news reporters. They're just doing their jobs. They're just following orders. Anyway.
No, they're cool.
Like Nazis.
That's
not, right. Same.
I don't think that's where I was going with it, but okay. Hey, that's your opinion. Now, this is something you suggested we talk about, Beck, and I agree. The new trend of ending a casual relationship by failing to respond to a text, is it in fact the best way to break up?
Now, my instinct is no.
Well, XO Jane, Victoria Carter has mounted a campaign against the slow fade, which is a defining phenomenon in romance of the age of the text. Here's how it works. You go out with someone anywhere from once to a handful of times. Over text message, you exchange some niceties, share links to topical web videos, or drop vague future plans. Then your romantic prospect's chat bubble suddenly stops popping up on your phone, and you never hear from them again. The fade, Carter says, is a source of soul-sucking frustration from the modern dater. When you disappear into the ether without any indication, why all I can do is come up with 1.5 million reasons why you're not into me, she writes. I'm not a goddamn mind reader. The fade is cowardly and in its root dishonest. If only the uninterested party would clarify its position in an explicit text. I would feel validated that you had enough deference for whatever we had, even if it was just for one night, to know that I needed to be ended in a mature and thoughtful manner.
Yeah.
Somebody got dumped.
That's true. Somebody did. I don't know. I mean, I think we're all civil people or we should be. And we want to you want to keep things cool. So if you run into that person again, it's not super awkward. So, I mean, I don't know. I think that just
everything's going okay and we're friendly and now I'm never talking to you again. Like, that's not ideal. I don't think you have to send like a big written thing being like, well, there was that time that you didn't reach for your wallet at dinner. And then there was the fact that, you know, you're a little bit taller than me. And then, you know, you smelled funny. Like, you don't have to put all that, but just sort of like, hey, I'm, you know, I don't think we should go out anymore. I met someone else, or I had fun and I hope I see you around, but I'm not feeling it. You know, it's one of those generic things I think is polite if you go on a couple of dates with someone.
Have you considered the Brazilian booty lift?
Ooh.
She's making it sound like it's a trend with texting, but hasn't that always been a ploy to fade out and not respond to calls or emails or whatever?
Not calls, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a different way of doing it. It's like, oh, he doesn't call anymore. Right. I don't know why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember that. Although one time when I was in college, I was dating somebody, and this is the only time this has ever happened to me. We both sort of simultaneously, I guess, decided we weren't going to call the other person again. And so like we went out on like a bunch of dates for like a couple months, and then we just didn't, and we never called each other, and it just ended. And like, I think we were both just relieved and we never talked about it or anything. It was really odd. I've never had anything like that happen. Usually I process the shit out of things, but this one time it just faded away mutually.
That's what's called meant to be.
We're meant not to be. Yeah, meant not to be.
No, it's interesting. I mean, I think it depends. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I think if you've been out like once or twice, and then suddenly it's like you text and then there's no text back, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. There shouldn't be this big, deep soul searching thing. If you've been going out for weeks or months and you've been out, you know, if you've been dating somebody for, you know, let's say a month, and you've been out 12 times or some obscure number that's higher than 3, then yeah, you probably should do the courtesy of going, you know what, I'm just really not feeling it. I mean, it can be just as simple as that. It's not really you. I'm just not feeling any chemistry. So, okay.
Or I think if the person reaches out once, like, hey, you want to get together this week, you don't text back and you never hear from them again, okay. But if they kind of keep reaching out, you might need to clarify. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
but,
fucked up when people do that.
But I also, I've gotten in trouble. I was because we were talking about this when I read this article, Ted and I were talking about it. I've gotten in trouble before where I'm not interested in someone and I'm trying to be so polite that like every time, this is back in the day of phones, every time they call, I'm like, oh, hey, great to hear from you. No, I'm busy this week. Sorry, you know, and then they just keep calling and I keep thinking if I just keep saying I'm busy, then the message will come across that
I'm
they'll
not. They'll catch your hint.
Right, but they don't, no. You know, and I've had... There's one particular experience that I'm thinking of where it was to the point where I was like, this person is almost willfully not catching my hint. But at the same time, I was so unable to just be direct and be like, hey, I don't want to go out with you. And so it just created this long thing. It was like a game of chicken, I think, where this person's like, I'm going to make you say you don't want to go out with me. And I'm like, I'm never going to say it. I'm just going to keep being polite and dodging you. And it just went on like way too long. I think it was passive aggressive.
Honey, are you trying to tell me something?
No. Okay, yeah, and then I moved in with him. Because I couldn't.
More and more awkward.
Because I couldn't tell him. I didn't like him.
Now we just chatting on Facebook from other rooms. Afraid to answer the phone. It's terrible. Oh. I mean, it's interesting when you do internet dating, you're dating a bigger volume of people than you would normally be. And so I think it's just the fact that I've sort of done that a little bit, that it really isn't that big a deal.
Okay, I've never internet dated. Like every person,
that's
part of
the course with internet dating.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so
check your ego at the door.
Yeah. I'm totally out of touch then, because I don't know who do you have you internet dated
in
the past?
I actually have a wife because of internet dating.
Excellent. And Ted, I know you haven't. So all three of you, you're looking at a whole different world than I am. So,
yeah, it's a numbers game, and you can't take it personally because even though the site thought you were a great match. And you initially thought you were a good match, sometimes you will meet in person and it's immediately evident that you are not a good match.
Yeah, it's true.
And sometimes it's like you're sort of like, oh, well, I could see maybe, I don't know. And it just sort of, then it's like, oh, okay. And then you just sort of like, but I don't really feel strong enough to bother anyway.
You're meeting a lot of broken people too when you go online to meet people. And you're rehabbing your psyche. So it's like, I dip my foot in the pool and I pull it out. Now I'm going away for a while. Okay, now I'll go back. And then, like you said, nobody wants to be the asshole who says, "No, nah, I just don't like you."
Yes.
Because they're still dealing with some sort of like shrapnel from the last bad relationship. So.
And then sometimes you'll get people who are honest, be like, I want to pursue this relationship with somebody else that I'm doing, because you're dating multiple people at the right. same time.
Right.
So you may be on date one with one person, on date three with somebody else, but you haven't reached the point where you're making it exclusive, and somebody, okay, you're on date two with this person and they're on date five with somebody else, and they go, "Oh, I think I want to try and do this." It's you just can't take anything personally. I believe it was the great Boomhauer on King of the Hill.
I love Boomhauer.
When they asked how Boomhauer got to go out with so many women.
Oh yeah.
And his answer was, "Just keep asking, man." And he went out with a lot of women because he asked a lot of women out. He didn't just ask one woman out and she went, no. He asked 100 women out and maybe 3 of them said yes.
Yeah.
Whereas the average guy will ask 1 or 2 women out and be like, "Oh, no? Okay. Well, now I feel bad about myself. I'm going to go back over here and just sit in the corner and feel bad."
Yeah. It's a good strategy. It works, too. No, wait. No,
going
no.
in the corner and feeling bad?
Totally.
It works every time.
I kid.
The best is to do all your internet dating stuff at work, so that way you're getting paid to meet people.
Yeah.
I do not endorse that at all.
That's what I did.
Well, I mean, different spaces, different places, different work levels. I actually have to work all day at work, so I don't have time for that, sadly.
Yes, you do.
No,
lame job you have.
I barely have time to post Facebook status updates at work.
What a ripoff.
I know. And here's what normally... Well, the funny thing is, I will find out like actual news on Facebook. So I have a reason to go on Facebook or Twitter because I will find stuff out. And I'll be like, "Hey, did you guys know about this?" And they'll be like, "No, we didn't know about that."
Yeah, Facebook's a good news source sometimes.
Yeah, so that's kind of how it works out. But yeah, I don't have time for any of that at work. I mean, at the old place, sure. Feet up, things going on, boss in the other room yelling at Martha Stewart on TV. That actually happened on a daily basis. Well, you really haven't lived until you're sitting at your computer trying to write a script, and you hear your boss through a wall say the following, "Oh, Martha, you're so full of shit."
Nah.
You haven't lived until you had a boss who decides to go to Brazil for plastic surgery because she saw it on Oprah.
What?
Wow. Full body lift.
I've never had a boss, apparently.
Yeah.
A full body lift?
Full body. Well,
a holy hottie booty lift?
She had had, no. She had gastric bypass surgery.
Oh.
So it was.
You've never had a boss until you've seen one propose a story and expand manned hours so she can do research to get said gastric bypass surgery.
You got to be shitting me.
I missed that part.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
It's all good.
The 4-part series before it. She got the...
It's a trend.
Yes.
There you go.
Don't you remember Janice? And then Janice jumped out of the airplane after she lost all the weight?
No, I don't. That's all... And neither does anybody else. This is going nowhere. Anyway.
I'm fascinated by it, but... Anyway.
It's an interesting story. But yes, it's one of those things that happens. So it's just part of the way things have sort of evolved. And, you know...
I agree, but I still think that... courtesy and kindness is important, and that it might not be that hard to dash off one text with a polite excuse things.
Right, but I think a lot of people are probably of the mind that they don't want to hurt somebody else's feelings, and if they just sort of fade away, it'll
be... But that
hurts sort of,
people's feelings,
right,
too.
But more than you trying to drop the hint of you're always busy. It's the same idea of, "Oh, I'm really busy." The hint is, "I'm not texting you back, so... yeah, I've sort of moved on. You're not hearing from me for a reason. I'm not trapped with my arm in between two rocks. I'm just not..." But you don't want to necessarily send the text.
So do all 3 of you guys, have you faded away before?
No, I've been faded on, so you have to get used to it after a while.
I've been faded on. I don't think I faded on anyone before.
Nate?
Both.
Mm-hmm.
Both. Yeah, but always very early on, after like 1 or 2 dates.
Okay, so like after 2 dates, then you need to send a courtesy text, right?
I think once you've gone out a third time, because as we all know, the third date is when someone's junk should be touched.
Hey, what day is it?
It's on
third date, Dave. What?
It's right. And as Now you've heard the story. You've heard this my third date story, right?
I don't know if I have.
Okay, this is funny. What the hell is this?
So do you believe the third date rule is like a hard and fast rule? Like, I mean,
no.
Do you really
hard and fast?
I didn't mean rule. That way, but but I mean, I know that's a thing that people say, but do people live by it?
You know, I think by the third date, you should at least have some idea that you're heading in that direction, even if you don't get there. You at least need to feel like, okay, we are going to be in some manner, shape, or form physically intimate, you know, whether it's a long hug or something like that. That's like, okay, this is going to happen by date five. So the story, and this goes back a long time, and this is a story I've told this on stage before too. So this goes back to, I was probably about 24 years old, and I'm in Burlington, Vermont, and I've gone out with this girl. We're on her third date. And I liked her, and she seemed to like me, and we're going to dinner and a movie, and we ate at Friendly's, which if you've been in the Northeast, you know Friendly's.
Is it like a Denny's?
It's Denny's with awesome ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we go there, and then we go to see a movie, and I forget what the movie is, and it's our third date, so I'm like, okay, great, things are going well, I like her, she likes me, we've seen the movie, we had a good time, we're talking on the way back, and we get about halfway back to her apartment, and I'm like, because it's still early in the day. And I'm like, hey, do you want to do something else? She goes, I don't know. I don't really feel that well. Could you just take me home? And I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. And we go a little bit further, and we're about a half mile from her house, and we're driving through downtown Burlington, Vermont. And all of a sudden, I hear her say, oh, I'm so sorry.
No.
And then I smelt it.
Oh.
And this poor girl had pooped herself a little bit.
Oh.
That's bad.
And so we pulled up to her house, and she's like, I'm so sorry. And then she disappeared into the house. And I was like, I glanced down to make sure that nothing had seeped onto my seat, and it hadn't. So I'm like, okay, good. Rolled down all my windows, crank style, because that's the way it rolled, and drove home airing out the car. And the next day, I called her and I said, are you feeling better? And she said, yeah, I am, thanks. And I said, would you like to go out again? She goes, no, I'm sorry. I'm too embarrassed. I can't ever see you again. So I'm nice. She craps her pants in my car. And then I get the, oh, I can't see you again because I pooped myself in your car.
That old line.
So yeah. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, yeah, don't fade away. Just a little bit of, what, a shart? And then that ends everything, right?
Well, that's a good, oh, it's a ploy. That's right? Pretty...
Yeah, date number three, I'm thinking something might happen. It
something did. Something did, yeah.
Not good.
And involved a butt, which is good. Wait, never mind.
Oh.
Sorry. Third
yeah,
date butt
don't,
play?
Don't fade away like that.
I don't
that.
Know. It depends on the person, I
I'm
think.
Just kidding.
But I've told that story many times, and the overwhelming reaction from women is like, oh yeah, I would never be able to face you again either.
I think it's really sweet that you asked her out. Like,
yeah.
Calling to see how she's feeling is definitely a nice move, but asking her out on top of that is very nice.
Well, I liked her. She was a nice girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not your fault you ate something at Friendly's that made you shart yourself.
That was like, not Friendly.
Unfriendly's.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, that's the long rambling way around that story.
I think the lesson is you find out if your date is lactose intolerant before you go to Friendly's.
Ah.
Well, yeah, I don't think it was. I think it was one of those things where she ordered something that was a little bit off.
Oh, Friendly.
And
the
yeah.
Chicken buffalo chicken salad.
I don't know what it was. I don't know. There appears to be a G-string of bizarre undergarment robberies taking place in Texas. A lot of weird stories out of Texas this week. Authorities say they're currently involved in an ongoing investigation which involves 2 years' worth of thefts, specifically of women's lingerie. Mm-hmm. Police have deemed the culprit of these unmentionable crimes the panty robber.
It's creative, yeah.
It's Pantygate.
And they believe he's responsible for most of the recent lingerie heists this week in East Texas.
Most of them.
Yeah, there could be another one. Copycat. According to a report issued by the Angelina County Sheriff's Department, a burglary occurred last Tuesday, which shockingly even included underwear that was the property of a 5-year-old girl.
Ew.
Exactly. The fact that this person has now crossed the line and stolen children's underwear has authorities concerned that the suspected panty thief may be a sexual predator.
They let it go on for 2 years, and then they're like, wait a minute, something's amiss here.
Now, to be fair, maybe they were like, it was in laundry, and it was like a big load with other things, or
does
maybe...
Does it say how it's been stolen?
No.
Just a calling card or some kind?
Unfortunately, even though dozens of homes have been victimized by the panty bandit over the past 2 years, police say that aside from lingerie and underwear going missing, they don't have many leads. So well done, Texas lawman.
So he's like breaking into people's houses and just stealing underwear?
Panty raid, yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He's a panty raider of the dark. I don't know. There's got to be a better name for him than the panty bandit.
There's got to be better life choices.
Well, that's true too. But if you're going to do it, at least come up with a better name than panty bandit.
By the way, if you
I
heard that.
It was panty robber. Yeah, panty bandit actually sounds a little better.
Oh,
that's
shoot.
The headline.
I'm already working on it.
By the way, if you heard the. If you heard the ding in my tablet a moment ago.
Yeah, can you turn those sounds off? No, I'm just kidding.
I could. But this one's actually kind of important because our friend Brian from Kimon Sushi shared a video. And I think I've seen this. It's the Girls Don't Poop. It's a Poo-Pourri, the real product. I don't know what that is. I'll look at it later. Maybe we'll have it next week.
Oh, I actually do know what that is because I had to write a terrible gifts guide a couple of years ago. And that was one of the things that was in it.
Oh, very
Poo-Pourri.
Good. Now, what exactly is that for?
I believe it's like spray that you carry with you to the bathroom and like spritz around you as you're pooping so that nobody in like a neighboring stall could like...
Does it work in someone's car?
Yeah, they should make it on little dashboard like mirror.
And Brian, of course, also says buy on Amazon through the Nate Darling Show.
He said that? Oh,
yeah.
Brian.
He's a good guy.
Of course, it's just a message to me, so...
Oh. We gotta go buy some... Sushi from Brian.
Yeah, Kimon Sushi. It's on 16th Street V? 16th and V? Yeah, in Sacramento.
Maybe we'll do that before karaoke.
We have a whole thing planned out.
Fun fact, every time your thing goes off, I check my phone when I'm listening to the podcast.
I know, it fucks with people.
Pavlovian.
Because it's the same sort of sound. mentioning Amazon, of course, you can get your Halloween costumes there. You don't have to stand in line at the Halloween store. Here are some of the best, sluttiest, and weirdest store-bought costumes for 2013. Iron Man 3.
Cool.
There's a sexy Iron Man 3.
Oh, these are sexy?
Mm-hmm. They're standard and sexy.
Yeah, but she's not shooting fire.
No, she is not. Lone Ranger, but no sexy Tonto. Just regular Tonto. There's sexy Lone Ranger. Walking Dead, sexy Rick. Oz the Great and Powerful. Of course, they have the sexy versions of all of those costumes. Disney princesses, of course.
Sexy Disney
random
princesses.
Fantasy characters, including Mrs. Gnome.
Sexy Mrs. Gnome.
Not really sexy.
I don't know who Mrs. Gnome is.
I don't either. Stalker Man, Scary Spider Dude, and Twerkin' Bear.
Stalker Man?
Stalker Man.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Sounds scary, honestly.
Yeah,
The twerking bear is just the Miley Cyrus outfit.
Right, I figured.
Twerking bear?
Twerking bear is what they call it.
That's really funny.
There's a few Man of Steel, a Batman, including some of the 60s-inspired costumes.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's a good-looking Robin.
You mean the
Robin?
One in the middle?
Yes.
Okay, that's a lady. I like the old-school 60s version of Batgirl. I think that's a good look, if you can pull it off. And the Riddler. Random superheroes, of course. Video game characters, including Sexy Sonic.
Sexy Sonic? He's a hedgehog. There's nothing sexy about Sonic, I don't think.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, including Sexy Turtles.
What? Why do they add the word sexy to anything and then just make less of a costume and then you have a...
Welcome it's to a Halloween in
turtle
America.
Turtle miniskirt.
Adventure Time, including Sexy Lumpy Space Princess.
Sexy and Lumpy don't go together.
They do not.
I don't think.
No.
Yes, but kudos for Adventure Time.
Sexy Power Rangers.
If they ever like have a sexy Sesame Street character, I'm gonna be really disturbed.
Sexy zombies, including
sexy Big Bird is a thing.
It is.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
God. Sexy zombies doesn't make sense either.
Steampunk. Doctor Who, Lady Terminator, and American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm.
The wise ass, dumbass, and dickhead and scary clown lady costumes.
What?
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's just it's basically a penis thing to put on your head.
Oh, okay, got it.
There,
sexy penis? What will they think of next?
I know. And then just some random, what the hell is this stuff, including a Play-Doh costume.
Play-Doh? Or the philosopher or Play-Doh like Plato?
Like a jar, like can of Play-Doh?
Yeah, Play-Doh is the clay. Play-Toh is the philosopher.
Gotcha. I was just clarifying.
And then a weird rapping hamster.
You can be a rapping hamperster?
Yeah, a hamperster.
I want to be a hamsterster.
All you have to do is put on your Super Ted outfit and then like a hamster mask.
That's all I need. You're right.
You're there.
All right, got a costume now. Thanks.
Get anything you want.
Nate, are you dressing up this year?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to any Halloween parties.
Oh.
Hootie, you're dressing up this year?
Is Mrs. Hootie
dress up for work?
I think it all depends on what days off we end up having together. And I don't know. I haven't been into Halloween in a long time.
I love it. I just
admire it. But
I just saved, there was an article in the Sacramento Bee that had 27 pumpkin patch suggestions.
And we're going to all of them.
Yes, in four counties.
Well, to be fair, you guys don't have jobs right now, so you have the time for that.
Whoa.
I'm not robbing it in. I'm just saying you have time to hit 27.
Oh, not really.
That was really low.
No.
And we're not going to 27 pumpkin patches.
But you could.
Yes, we could.
You could.
Hey, I have a job interview tomorrow, you guys. Things could turn around for me.
No, it has.
Actually, by the time this airs, maybe I might even have a job. You never know.
You're going to be our boss. You're going to run the place. Anyway.
The Nate Darling Show place?
No, not this place.
Did you go to Dutch Brothers?
What?
What is it?
I was doing a callback to the Dutch Brothers versus Starbucks.
Oh, the Dutch Brothers. I should. I seriously have the Dutch Brothers application on my desktop. If this doesn't work out, that's my next one.
Dutch Brothers. Yeah. Dutch Brothers coffee. I love Dutch Brothers coffee.
Plus, you can have a disco every time you serve coffee, honey.
Yeah.
Sorry. I probably sound like a stalker now.
That's okay.
No, you're right, though, because I'm seriously, I have been thinking about that. And I just turned in an application for Michael's Craft Stores, and it took 3 hours to apply online. There was a 12-page personality evaluation and a math test.
Which is to be an, just to apply, to give them information about yourself and express an interest.
And I had to write a short answer, like little essay about why I love arts and crafts. And this was to be an overnight like restocker. So for minimum wage.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's tough out there, guys.
It's tough. And yeah, and exactly. And I haven't heard back, so.
No. Well, yeah, you obviously are showing some signs of brain activity, so they wait for that to fade out before they hire you at Michael's.
Oh.
No offense. If you'd like to, if you'd like to sponsor the show, Michael's, come on down. We'll talk about your arts and crafts and your framing services.
My arts and crafts essay was stellar. You can ask Ted. So, I think I might have messed up on the personality test. It had a bunch of questions like, I see myself as the manager of a, like, an executive of a Fortune 500 company. Like, agree, disagree. And I'm like, what are you trying to get me to say?
Yeah, what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Exactly.
Piss
off.
Person
has ambitions. You better shoot them down now.
Halloween is on a Thursday this year, so. I don't know. It's one of those weird things, like, do you dress up for work? Because there are people that dress up for work, and part of me admires them, and part of me wants to punch them.
Actually, you know what? I probably will dress up, but by dressing up, I will go to Target and buy a $10 shirt that says Venkman on it.
Nice. See, as long as anybody puts in any effort, I'm really happy. Because I used to dress up every year for work, and I was often the only person, or one of two, maybe. And I was just, I don't know. It's just nice when people put in any effort.
We used to have contests at where I used to work, which was fun. You know, that little prizes and things. So, yeah.
Yeah, I may just cut nipple holes in a shirt and go as sexy me.
Ooh.
That could work.
Yeah.
Wow.
We tend to get shunned in our line of work. It's true. Dressed up.
It's true. things like that. I could go as this guy. This guy's from Albuquerque, home of Breaking Bad. Let's take a listen to what he did.
Take a listen.
An Albuquerque couple is still baffled after a naked man broke into their house Sunday night.
And if that wasn't strange enough, what he did inside the house was downright bizarre. News 13's Gabrielle Burkhardt is live in the Newsplex with that story.
The Newsplex.
Dean, Jessica, the couple called 911 when they say a man was trying to break in. When police got there, they found the suspect naked and eating cat food. A broken glass door, remnants of a home break-in, Mike Wolfersberger says was a creepy encounter with this man, 22-year-old Roy Kincaid.
At some point, he started taking off his shirt. Don't ask me why.
Wolfersburg.
Why did he take off his shirt?
I said, don't ask me why.
By the way, this guy was wearing shorts, a Hawaiian shirt, and sandals.
Berger says Kincaid rang his doorbell Sunday night and wanted to use the phone, then sleep on the porch. When asked to leave, Wolfersberger says Kincaid stripped down and showed up at his back door.
At some point in there, he also produced a box cutter that he held up to his own throat like, you know, I'm going to kill myself.
Wolfersberger locked the door and went inside to call 911.
He was out there when I went into the bedroom with my wife.
He says Kincaid was naked when he used this ladder to slam against the back porch glass door until he finally broke it and let himself in.
This sounds terrifying.
But Kincaid wasn't stealing anything.
Apparently he was eating from the cat food bowl.
When police showed up, they say Kincaid was lying on the ground, completely naked, sucking his thumb and eating cat food. Police say when Kincaid stood up and came towards them, an officer tased Kincaid and arrested him. He appeared in court today for aggravated burglary with a deadly weapon and aggravated indecent exposure charges. Wolfersberger is thankful he and his wife weren't harmed. Now he's mostly puzzled by the break-in.
Stripping off before robbing really doesn't make much sense. In fact, it didn't make much sense, period.
That's true.
And neither does this whole story. But
it
thanks,
really doesn't.
Thanks for making that a really long story.
That's ridiculous.
It made me kind of sad because, I mean, this guy's obviously mentally ill. Like, he obviously was having some kind of episode. So it's like the answer is to, like, charge him for burglary. Like, he was, like, that was his goal. I mean, I don't know. He clearly needs some help.
Does it seem like cops, it's like standard procedure to tase people now, or am I just on drugs?
It's that or, you know, shoot them or beat them.
But, like, just you can't subdue someone now without tasing them or shooting them? Or
well, I think a lot of it has to do, and this guy looks like he's a meth guy.
Oh, okay.
A lot of it has to do with you get guys who are on meth and PCP, and traditional takedown techniques don't necessarily work with them.
Okay. I mean, he had battered his way through the glass back door.
I guess so, but he's sucking his thumb with cat food. He was sleeping off some fancy feast.
Well, listen, you know how strong a 9-pound cat can be, Ted. Imagine all of that in a full-grown man.
Aw.
Hey, let's go to Florida real quick.
It almost feels like we were just there.
I know, but we were in New Mexico. Florida woman's accused of selling food stamp card on Facebook. That's right. Cops find that some criminals are using Facebook and other social media to advertise their misdeeds to the world and leaving a trail of evidence behind. Back in August, deputies got a complaint about a woman, Ashley Renee McGinley, allegedly selling food stamps on Facebook. That's according to a report from the sheriff's office. She reportedly was selling them at a bargain rate, $100 worth of food stamps for just $50.
Well, that's a good deal.
It is. When detectives went to question the 23-year-old woman, they conveniently found her at the jail, where she was being held on unrelated charges.
Oh, dear.
That's right. She confessed to selling her EBT card to a friend of hers named Kenneth. Investigators determined that Kenneth was Kenneth Dunham, who later told them that McGinley sold her EBT card to him for $100, which he then doubled the value of the card to get over $200 worth of funds. That's according to the report. I didn't know this was such a thing.
Wait, what? He doubled the card value?
Yeah, I don't know how he did that, but he did it.
Oh, wow. He hacked him.
I don't know.
I knew you could hack EBT cards. That's interesting. So when you use EBT, do you have to have any ID to prove that you're the bearer of the EBT card that you're using?
Apparently not.
That seems like a security mechanism. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm starting to understand. Every now and then you see stories and you go, you know, those Tea Party people might be onto something.
Oh.
I was with someone shopping EBT and we went through the self-checkout, I think. So, yeah, I think you can just kind of.
Yeah. Use that. Great. I mean, it just that makes sense. I don't know.
And you should be able to.
You should. Oh, you're right.
You got to crack down on that stuff.
Yeah.
A message to Deltona, Florida residents. It's not okay to pay your water bill with cocaine.
Aww.
Employees at the water office on Enterprise Road were evacuated on September 23rd after a customer handed a cashier an envelope with white powder in it. At 9:56 a.m., the water department employees called the sheriff's office to check out the suspicious substance. The employees were evacuated. The sheriff's office and hazmat teams responded. The powder was tested. Interestingly enough, it was crack cocaine.
Wow, wrong envelope.
The sheriff's office will continue to investigate. They confirm that there are surveillance cameras in the water building. So they're going to, you would think, because you always hear about drugs having a street value.
Right.
You would think they could go ahead and do that. But
do you think that guy seriously had like two envelopes in his pocket, and one was like a check for the water bill, and the other was crack cocaine?
No.
Who puts cocaine in an envelope, though?
How else do you carry your crack cocaine?
I don't know. In like a little baggie, I thought.
Crack pipe?
Or pipe. I don't know. Right. I haven't.
Anything.
Oh, it's been so long. I forget how I used to do it.
So wait, it was crack, but it was powdered?
Powdered crack. I don't know.
I thought, I'm confused. I don't know enough about drugs.
Or ping water.
Wait, we should really look into this so that we can know more about. No, we shouldn't.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. It's time to sort of move on to this part of the
Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
Hold on. Let me play the music for you.
Small town news. Oh, let's go on retro for a minute.
Real retro.
So retro.
Super retro.
This was before we had 100 shows.
It's true. It's back. You know what's really interesting is we all have done as many more shows together than the original cast of the shows. Done.
Really?
Yeah, because we started doing two shows a week.
That's true.
I see what you're saying.
Math.
Yeah, I like version two better.
Oh, thank you.
That's very nice. Wow, thank you.
Aw, you made Becca's day.
Yeah, we're going to go back to Plattsburgh, New York for Small Town News.
Yeah.
Is it Speak Out?
It is.
Yay!
Wow. I hope there's something about Price Chopper or Bob.
It's an embarrassment to Franklin County to have legislators who feel that they're above the law and arrogant enough to chastise our sheriff for protecting constituents. Thank you, Sheriff's Department, for serving and protecting.
Yeah.
And F you. What? Wait, who are we mad at in the first place? The politicians?
Yes.
So it's like, thank you, sheriff, and F you, politicians.
Council member Brenner.
Smoking at a racetrack? Breathing in dirt, oil, gas fumes, but people complain about smoke from smoking? Mention young children and babies being subjected to it at a racetrack? Should young children and babies be at a racetrack?
Should they? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think that person has a point, but I think that person also got told to put out their cigarette at the racetrack.
No. There was a speak out earlier about someone complaining about smoking at the racetrack.
Oh.
So it's a speak out war.
Ooh. Those are the
it's
best.
It's like a Twitter war, but slower.
So much slower.
And less observed by anyone.
Legislator pulled over. The other legislators threatened to cut the budget of the arresting law enforcement office. It was just a 21-year-old guy. They'd be congratulated for their work. Just shows what we all already knew. Corruption and one hand washes the other. I have no idea what that's about.
I don't either. It was like four cliches kind of like mixed together.
Someone got pulled over.
The grass is always greener when the hand washes at midnight.
When you're leading a horse.
And the chicken or the egg.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Employees must wash hands before returning to work. Between Obama's terms from 2008 to 2013, there have been 16 mass shootings in this country so far. It just makes you question.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It makes you
Thank you.
Say stupid things.
Yeah, that's it.
Is Obama shooting everyone? Was that the question?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently Obama wants to take all your guns so he can have more mass shootings. I'm guessing that's what it is. Idiots. And finally, to my neighbors who insist on blasting their music, thank you very much for the migraine. Thank you for being inconsiderate. Thank you for being selfish. You really need to learn some manners.
Oh my God. As someone who suffered from chronic migraines for years, I have never used that on anybody. And now I'm wondering why. I should just tell people that all the time. Oh, thank you for the migraine.
Yeah.
So, wow.
That's
it.
God.
That's a fitting end to Small Town News. That's a great way to end the week.
Perfect, yeah.
Wow. Oh my God, I love it. Passive aggressive migraine insults. I never thought to try and have fun with migraines. I'm gonna work on this.
How can I turn my pain into some sort of passive aggressive needling?
Mm-hmm. Right? If I'm suffering, then why shouldn't other people? No, I'm kidding.
They caused it. How did you cause my pain? Anyway, that's going to do it for this week's Darling Shows.
How many headaches you had since Obama became president?
I know, makes you wonder, right?
Makes you question.
Although, honestly, they started during... I never had any before W was in office. So, but they've lingered, so I don't know.
Interesting.
I know.
I can't believe I lived in Plattsburgh for 16 years.
No. There you go.
Can't either.
Did you used to read Speak Out when you lived there, guys?
No.
Did you read the Press Republican when you lived?
No, because they teach you in college not to read the Press Republican if you go to Plattsburgh.
They really do? Yes. They say don't do this?
Yes.
It's bad.
Wow.
They call it yesterday's news tomorrow.
Ah!
It's true.
Aww.
It is small town news. Damn. There's a reason for
it. But the funny thing is their person who taught us that is now running for public office and asking us all to write to the Press Republican.
Oh!
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning, doesn't it?
Yes.
Anyway, thank you to Hootie for sitting in on this episode.
It has been an honor and a pleasure.
Thanks, Hootie.
Thanks, Arjun, for sitting in on Wednesday's episode. Christiana will probably be back next week.
Yay.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We haven't
seen her in a while.
Team Christiana.
Everybody, you have a great weekend. Go Niners and...
No, go Seahawks.
Go Niners.
Go A's.
Niners.
Back on. Have fun, everyone.
I Hinduism homework to do this weekend. I don't even know what sports are on.
Football. Go Niners is what you want.
Yeah, go Niners.
Go Krishna.
Go Vishnu.
Exactly.
There we go. All right, everybody. Enjoy your weekend and don't concuss yourself on something. Here's the Doobie Brothers and stuff. Bye.
Don't concuss.